Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Glad to be with you on this Monday, game week. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. RV, motorcycle, boat, whatever it may be. They are the best in the business because customer service means everything to them. Terrific people. I mean, really good people that are also great at insurance and saving you money. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Route 7 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And it is game week, so all the talk... That's what we have, is the talking season. And obviously we're a part of it by doing our show every week, or doing our show every day. But now it's time to put performance together. And you know, and everything should be done next week on Tuesday with the idea and the context of, in the context of an opening game. So you look at what Notre Dame did. Okay? Good, strong performance, good starting point. Context opening game, and USC did play well offensively, defensively had some of the ups and downs like they did last year. The ability to create takeaways, huge, but also, you know, giving up yards and points, which is the same problem they had last year. But again, that's in the context of an opening game, because college football is the only sport. It is the only sport which doesn't have preseason competition against somebody else. That's the issue. College basketball, you usually get two scrimmages against an opponent. And I don't mean a Division III opponent. I mean, last year, for example, Penn State scrimmaged George Mason and Rhode Island last year. Okay. So, you know, college football doesn't have that, so you have to do everything in the context of an opening game. So, you know, try not to overreact one way or the other. Speaking of overreacting, let's get to some of the complaints of the weekend.
Oh, my almighty!
Well, I'm going to start with a couple of things college football related, actually more specifically Arizona State related. Mm-hmm. So Arizona State self-imposed a bowl ban for this season. So once again, we're now seeing in college football where you have these self-inflicted bowl bans or postseason bans, whatever, that are affecting the current players and coaching staff that they had nothing to do with.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm with you all the way on that. I have been very much in favor, as people know that listen to this show for years. They know darn well I've been in favor of targeting the individuals that are guilty of what has gone on and then being harsh with them. You know, you target the assistant coach that made the overture. You target the player that accepted the overture, whatever it may be. Whomever, wherever the guilt lies, you go after the people where the guilt lies. You do not penalize the innocent that had nothing to do with it for somebody else's sins. That's wrong. shouldn't be imposing. I mean, now is Arizona State going to make a bowl game? Could they have made it? I'm like, it'd be dicey. I mean, there's a reason why you're in transition right now. There's a reason you're in transition. But there are ridiculous things, such as we're going to strip schools of wins. I'm like,
yeah, that's also stupid.
What are you doing? Just knock it off. Just target the people that were involved. All right? Come on. I mean, that's all you have to care. It sounds simple, but that's what you do. You go after the people, whether it's the student athlete, right, or it's the coach. Okay? As to who allowed something to happen. And you go from there. You don't go after the whole program. Not everybody's involved. You don't do that. Like Tennessee got stripped of wins. I mean, come on, really? Like, come on, stop acting like these games were a mirage. Everybody knows they were played. You know, Penn State has in its book, for example, a loss to Oklahoma in the 72 Sugar Bowl. 14-0. John Capiletti had to stay in the hotel that night. He was sick with the flu and could not play. So he couldn't play in the game. Oklahoma had two players, including quarterback Kerry Jackson, who was critical to winning, that were ruled ineligible, and thus Oklahoma, quote, had to vacate the Sugar Bowl win. Well, what do you think Penn State does with that game? They put it down as a loss. They didn't win. It's put down as a loss. For Penn State, it's put down as a loss in Joe Paterno's record. Penn State didn't sit there and vacate the game. Here's my favorite. You'll love this one, Matt. And I have told this one before, but I don't know. I read game notes, but only to a point. There's certain things I'm looking for in the game notes. I'm just glancing through, and there's something specific I want to find. Because when you've done as many games as I've done, especially against opponents that you see year in and year out, you've already done a lot of research to begin with. So game notes 9 times out of 10 for me are not going to be helpful, only because I've already done a lot of research to get to the game. Now, you'll go through and say, just look at the headline and go, no. Well, I'm looking at one day at Ohio State basketball game notes. I don't know how many years ago this was. It may have been 6-7 years ago. Penn State's never won a game at Value City Arena. I go, what the hell are you talking about? I remember Tyler Smith on the right wing making a shot. Penn State, you know, they put the game away. And Penn State won the game like 78-75. Remember this game here? When Ohio State was told to vacate in basketball their seasons because of violations, they vacated every game. Like, you don't vacate your losses. it's like, well, they've never won it back. Yes, they have. How dumb can we be? I just kind of sat there, shook my head, like, I was a witness. I sat there and I watched the games.
Yeah, I remember you talking about this game. Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He's like, come on. You see stupid stuff like that, you're like, come on, that makes no sense at all. But you go after and target the people who, okay, are the ones that cause the problem. Okay? You don't go after the innocent who had nothing to do with it. You don't take away their right to do something because of somebody else. I mean, all the people that at Arizona State that were allegedly involved or whatever, they're all gone. They're all gone. So I'm with you all the way.
Then there's the second part to this. So I guess ESPN announced a new Monday football show that is going to include Booger McFarland, Dan Reeves, or somebody else, and Michael Leaves is who it was, and Herman Edwards. I'm sorry. Now, this isn't necessarily a rip at ESPN like I normally do. This is kind of, this goes for everybody, I think. To me, Herman Edwards does not deserve to be on any sports talk show, especially about football anymore. When it comes to what he did at Arizona State, to me, he's lost all credibility whatsoever, and he does not deserve a platform to be an analyst for football when he committed NCAA violations and, first of all, was awful overall at Arizona State. But now that he committed these violations, no. I don't care about your opinion. You mean nothing to me. You have no credibility because you cheated. And this should go for anybody that's done, that's gone against NCAA violations or anything else under the sun. I don't want to hear from you. Sorry. Get out.
Yeah, but the difference is, though, Matt, let's, in all honesty, it's TV, so you don't have to watch. I mean, so you have the option of not watching it, and if enough people take your attitude and don't want to watch it, they'll drop the show. Whom they hire? They hire whomever they think can make it a good show or they feel has the kind of personality. At that point, though, it then becomes your choice as the viewer to say yes or no. Now, unless I'm reading you wrong, I think you voted no.
No, señor! No, señor! No, señor!
But that's what TV is. That's what radio is. When you're doing a show, people either say yes or no. Okay. And for your reasons, you vote no. And they'll, look, it doesn't sound like it's a very interesting show to start with, to be honest with you. It doesn't sound very interesting. I probably wouldn't watch it anyway because, I don't really, I love watching games. But I don't, all the other stuff around it has never intrigued me anyway. But in TV, you vote by watching. You vote by watching. That's how shows get canceled. They get canceled because not enough people watch. Shows get canceled because there's not enough interest. And that's what it's all about. And you have principal reasons as to why you don't want to watch the show. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. And there's nothing wrong with your reasoning for doing it. Now, as entity, they're sitting down as an entity saying, okay, what's the best show we could do with this and who could really pull it off? And, Herm Edwards is a powerful personality and comes off well on TV. Now, that's probably what they're thinking, but their thinking is not going to match up with the audience's thinking. It doesn't match up with your thinking, so you won't watch. And there'll be a lot of people that won't watch. I won't watch regardless of who they put there because I don't care what they think. And it doesn't really light me up too much. It's just not my cup of tea. And it's obviously, and you have principal reasons as to why you're not going to watch, which is perfectly fine. But as a broadcast professional entity, they can hire whomever they want. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I get that. Right. I'm obviously choosing not to watch.
Right, you're choosing not to watch. So let's take, for example, what's on after our show, Sean Hannity's show. Okay? There will be a segment of the audience that loves hearing Sean Hannity. There's going to be a segment of the audience that will listen to Sean Hannity, but they're doing it because they don't agree with him, but they want to hear what he has to say. And there's going to be a certain segment that just doesn't believe anything he says, and they won't listen at all. Everybody makes that choice. We made the choice to carry it because we think a lot of people are going to listen to the show, and Sean has very strong radio ratings across the country. But there are going to be various reasons as to why people listen to it, and there are going to be some principal reasons as to why people don't listen to it. And we put it on, and we think there are enough people that, whether you like them or not, are going to listen to them. So that's why we put it on. Those are the choices that are made when it comes to programming. Right?
Correct.
Well, I'm glad I got one thing right. Tony Caridi, the voice of West Virginia football and basketball, is going to join us at 2:05 today. So we'll get the West Virginia perspective. Neil Brown had his press conference earlier today. Boy, Brandon Lowe gave it to the Yankees, didn't he?
Hey, I'm just happy the Yankees won a game. I'm still shocked by that, actually.
Did you see what he said about the fight?
I did not. I saw the fight, but I didn't see what happened.
Again. It's a last-place team, not worth our time. We need each game. They're not really in each game.
He's absolutely right, to be honest with you.
I know it. I know it.
I mean, I saw what happened, and I don't think it was intentional. Abreu just stinks and just plunked them. But yeah, he's absolutely right. Regardless of the motive.
I mean, so now your team's attacking other teams with the ball. Is that what you decided to do?
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
No, that's not it. Okay, just checking.
I don't want to know anymore. Right, let's just end the season.
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Central Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sudbury Motors is having their 75th annual August new Ford truck sale with savings up to $8,465 and financing as low as 1.9%. All new Ford F-150s will be priced at just $75 over invoice, and they will come with a genuine Ford bedliner. Ford Motor Company has awarded SMC 42 additional F-150s to meet consumer demand during this unprecedented sale. The Ford F-150 is America's number one selling truck for 46 consecutive years, and one is sold every 49 seconds. Sudbury Motors has 23 new Ford Explorers available with savings up to $5,000, and they start from just $43,375. Pick from 17 of the totally redesigned Ford Escapes, and SMC has them slash $2,500, and they start from only $30,890. Sudbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century. Hurry before someone gets your new truck.
What is that sound? That sound is of the Yankees speeding to the end. No? For all of you who have been disgusted by listening to Matt brag about his team for months, they may be delighting in your demise.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Hey, by the way, how about all three of the teams that we cover on Friday night all winning?
Yeah, that was a tremendous opening weekend for everybody.
That really is really cool. I'm thrilled for all the local teams to get off to a good start. They'll make Thursday a fun show to talk to everybody about what they saw from the accomplishments of the teams they cover. That'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
And 2 out of 3 in dramatic fashion, too.
Sure.
And that was also Shikalemi's first season opening win since 2017, I believe. 2018, maybe. So, yeah.
Suit was breathing into a paper bag in the fourth quarter. Fortunately, Dave Ritchie, with all the poise in the world, carried the show the rest of the way.
That's actually not totally far, far off.
Yeah, I know. Fourth down. It's scary. It really is. It's a scary deal.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto Home Life Business, Motorcycle Boat RV. They'll do everything they can to save you money by making sure that you also are fully insured. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Tony Caridi at 2:05 today. Neil Coulon will join us on Wednesday. Catherine Tappan of NBC will join us on Wednesday as well, as she makes her first appearance at Beaver Stadium with Noah Eagle and with Todd Blackledge on NBC's Game of the Week. She is an outstanding reporter who's done great work at the Olympics, the NHL, and she's done some NFL work and college football as well. So I'm fortunate to have her on the show. And that'll be on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. That can't be your only complaint for the weekend.
Actually, that was it from the weekend, but today I've got something that's popped up in the last couple hours. And that involves Derek Barnett now apparently trying to look for a trade because he's not happy about playing time. Well, I'm sorry. Here's the reason why you're not playing. Because, hashtag, it's always him. If you read the lips from Nick Sirianni a couple years ago. Committing penalties, dumb penalties, getting involved in scuffles in training camp almost every year. This year, getting to the quarterback when you're not supposed to. I can go on and on why this guy, it does not get playing time. He was promising. This is, I'm very disappointed how this has gone. This is not like me trying to find a way to get after him. I love the pick when they drafted him in the first round a few years ago. Obviously, he was a big part of the Super Bowl team in 2017. But since then, it's like he's lost his head. So I'm sorry. Yeah. Go find a trade. See ya. The Eagles got plenty of guys on the defensive line right now. Yeah, so we can go get a trade. Go right ahead.
One of the elements that force the hands of teams is if a player is not smart about how they play. And you're looking to obviously get great performance, but the other element is, but you also don't want it to happen in such a way where they then do things that where they make the big mistake. You do something after the play. You get over emotional, and even though you may not be the one that started it, we all know the second guy, and it ends up being the 15-yard penalty. You're like, come on. Or you're the guy that gets to the quarterback, and you finally get there, and you take 2.5 steps, and you deck the guy. You can't have that. And those are elements that coaches and general managers are balancing your production versus do you hurt us? And that's been one of his issues, because too often how he plays, he can turn in a spectacular, but he has not been consistent enough in staying away from the elements that hurt teams and can lose games. I realize my deal was a little more reasoned than yours, but that's all right.
But spot on.
I mean, and that's why you'll see, like, why did they get rid of him? He has all the potential in the world. But whether it's practice or a scrimmage or a game, they'll do that one or two things like, oh, what are you doing? Stop thinking of yourself. You got 45 other guys over here you got to think about. The whole thing is about the name on the front of the jersey. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. You have to play smart. You have to play smart. And that is so important at every level of sports. Every level of sports. And other teams know which guys get a little hot under the collar, and you can bait into doing something dumb. Right? And that's even worse. When they know they can bait you into doing something, you're like, oh. And we know it when we're getting ready for games. I mean, Jack and I, Dick and I, we know which guys, like, play right to the edge. You know, we know. And as announcers, we know, everybody knows. And that is an issue. That's why you'll see some guys, like, they have great potential, but they'll do something in the play wrong. They'll do something after the play wrong. They'll do... And then, of course, they're the first ones to look around and go, oh, wait, what was I doing? The same stuff you do all the time. Now, let me give you a benign one. This is a benign example. And the benign example is 2008 Rose Bowl. Early in the game, Penn State recovers a fumble. I think Navarro Bowman recovered it. Like, this is great. This, you know, it's going to give him a golden opportunity. I have the ball right around midfield, the whole deal. There's a penalty marker on the play. Now, again, this is a benign example. This is not a player losing his poise or anything like that. But Aaron Maben lined up offside. Okay? And I remember Jack said to me, he says, oh, can you believe he lined up offside? I said, Jack, in Thursday's practice, he did it three times. Right? And it was pointed out to him. I mean, I was standing, I remember standing down the line going, he's offside now, watching him. And, you know, he stepped in, he said, look, he lined up offside. Three, he did it three times in practice, one practice. So I wasn't surprised he did it in the game. And again, these are probably things they're seeing, Matt, in practice with him and in scrimmages with him. And it's showing up in games. And there's only a certain threshold that you can put up with. How about that?
Yeah, that was kind of my read on it. So, but I think that example is a really good one to apply to this.
It's a completely benign example. It's not like Aaron was playing stupid. I mean, he lined up, he thought he was whatever, but he did it three times, and, like, I mean, even I noticed it.
Right, but the point is, this was an ongoing pattern, and you can only do so much with a player to control. Right. So I think that makes perfect sense in this case.
Yeah, yeah. Neil Brown says he is not going to release a West Virginia depth chart because Penn State doesn't release one. It's fair. That's fair. No wrong with that. I've done enough work. I think I can figure out who's out there. We're good. I don't worry about stuff like that. Yeah. So. Says the strength of his football team, and I agree with this because I was on West Virginia podcast this morning, and I brought this up. I said that when I look at your team, I said the first thing I look at is your offensive line. And then he comes out today and says, hey, strength of our football team is the offensive line. All right. So, and he says Penn State's the best team they've played in a long time. Not going to name a starting quarterback. Devin Carter's going to play. He's not going to do a depth chart because Penn State doesn't put one out. It's fine. Nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with that. And I think this idea of available, unavailable, I think that pertains to conference games. I don't think that's going to pertain to a non-conference game. I don't know if they've voted on it yet or not, because there is a conference game this week. There's a conference game Thursday night. Minnesota's playing Nebraska. Essentially, it's what Ohio State's been doing this for a couple of years now. They'll put out 2 hours before the game, available, not available. It doesn't have to say what it is. You don't have to sit there and do upper body, lower body, knee, ankle, shoulder. You don't have to say what it is. It's essentially, it's the unavailable list. Who is unavailable? So whomever can.
It looks like we lost Steve there for a sec. But I think it's a good step forward in terms of giving that kind of information to the media. I think it's a good happy medium because I get the HIPAA laws and stuff like that when you want to try to find out what the exact injury is. If I were up to me, I'd love to have it the way the NFL structures it. But at least you have an idea, a better idea than you're not guessing right before kickoff. So I'm okay with that. With the way things are going right now. Well, we'll take a quick break when we come back. We've got more on this game, and then we've got Tony Caridi, the voice of West Virginia, coming up at 2:06. Here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
So we have these codes on here. For the first time ever, I saw host unreachable. And anybody who's talked to Matt knows there are times he's sitting there and you feel like he's unreachable. No.
Oh, my almighty!
What? What? Come on.
I keep saying things. I just don't feel like I can reach him.
But we're talking about available, unavailable, and these have to be put out 2 hours before the game. This is something Ohio State's done the last couple of years. I think of the teams that Penn State has played, I think they're the only ones I've seen that have done that. So it's going to be the same thread of available, unavailable. I think the key is going to be just put out the list of guys that are not available. And 2 hours before the game, let's face it, for Penn State, so let's just take Saturday night. I don't think they have to do it this week because it's a non-conference game. But, for example, at 5:30, which is just about the time some of the guys start to come out to warm up, at this point, if you're in the stadium, you're starting to get a feel as to who's going to be able to play and not play, you know, at that point. So to me, for people who are attending the game, there isn't much difference. They'll know. For people attending the game, they'll be sitting there like, yeah, I can tell X is in street clothes and a jersey and no pads. Okay, obviously, unavailable. For those sitting at home, they will find out. And for those in the media, they'll be able to tweet out right away or report live, if they happen to be somebody that has a live show at the time, as to who's unavailable. So that will give you, you know, at least more information to deal with. But the time frame between, like, when the opponent would know, for example, would be about the same time they'd be looking over anyway, saying, oh, look, X is in wearing sweats and wearing a jersey, and they are not warming up. They are not playing tonight. Okay. Right? I mean, that's... So I don't think it's a bad... You know... I don't think it matters. It's just one more thing they have to do. Which comes down to, okay, great. This will be fun. We get to deal with a pain in the neck. Yeah. Each league does it their own way. The NHL, it's an upper body, lower body. They don't specify. I think the NFL specifies a little bit more. Major League Baseball just throws you on the IL, and it could be 10 games, 15 or 60, and all that means it's the earliest you can come back. The earliest I can come back is 10 days. The earliest I can come back is 15. Like, well, what, Judge was on, what, the 15-day DL or IL?
Yep.
Right, that's the earliest he could have come back. Obviously, he was out a lot longer than 15 days. Put him on 60, you got it to be at a minimum of 60 days. The NBA, I'm trying to think what the NBA does. I don't know what the league rule in the NBA is about in or out. I really don't.
They've done, they do questionable, doubtful, out.
The NBA does?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it. I wonder if college basketball is going to be forced to do the same thing, too, to say who's available or unavailable 2 hours before the game. And this is, why does the NBA do it? The NBA, the NFL, for example. Why has the NFL been able to put out injury reports for years? For an organization that always told every legal entity that they were against gambling. You could vote against that, and they lobbied. No gambling, no gambling. Okay. Always put out injury reports because of gambling. So interesting. You said that, you see some of the stuff sometimes. We're so against it. No, no, no. Then why are you putting out questionable, doubtful, probable? Why are you doing that? Any particular reason? Just trying to be nice? What? No, there's a reason. And the reason, though, it was for gambling. That's why. Okay, they understood. They're playing to the crowd. Now you put down a couple of shekels here and there, right?
Not on games, just doing slots.
Oh, okay. Slot. You'd never like horse racing or anything
nope.
like that. Really?
Never really appealed to me.
Oh yeah.
I just do some slots, and when I do, I'm very modest. For the most part.
You're the one-armed bandit guy.
Sure.
No roulette? Blackjack?
I did try roulette once on my 21st birthday when my family took me out to the casino. But I'm good just playing a few slots. Hanging at the bar, have a couple cold ones, and we're good.
The Yankees are on. I'll take 12. The Eagles are playing blackjack 21.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
There it is.
I would say I would want to sit there with you during an Eagles game just to watch how you react, but I don't think I could take it. I'd probably leave after like one series.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Okay, I've seen enough. Time to go. Then I would ask if anybody wants to go, and what bothers me is that, like, your family would say, yeah, where are we going? I'm like, no. You're stuck with him. He's yours.
That's why I give my dad all the credit in the world.
He sticks with you?
Yes, he does.
Really? Wow.
And he's dealt with me at games before when I've been a little lively.
Okay. when you've been lively. Okay. Okay. Football message. Am I supposed to? I can't open it up, by the way, whatever you send me. I would answer it, but I can't. Pamela on Facebook asked your thoughts on whatever. I don't think I can open it. I tried opening it.
Oh.
Let me see here.
It was a link I had sent you.
Right. I don't think I can open it. So, Pamela, I'm sorry. I'm trying to, but let's see. Let's try this one. NBC News, college football season kicks its man, NCAA, something. Okay, I got it. Meet the man who thinks he... Oh, I actually, Pamela, I read the article already. This is about Andrew Coates, who was the attorney for the Oklahoma for Oklahoma and the Oklahoma-Georgia case on TV. I did read... I read the article over the weekend. No, he didn't... No, if you read... In reading the article, you know what stuck out to me about it, Pamela? What stuck out to me about the article was that Oklahoma and Georgia kept offering the NCAA a compromise, and the NCAA kept rejecting it. So he didn't screw anything up. They challenged it. They were justified in challenging it, but they kept offering a compromise to the NCAA to allow them to keep some semblance of control over what was going on. And the NCAA kept saying no. That's how I read the article. So it's not really him that screwed up. Again, the NCAA, I think they thought for sure that they were in the right. And it turned out that no.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.